first candidate that we will hear from this evening is John Edwards. John Edwards.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. First I want to say a thank you to the extraordinary leaders here in the state of Iowa, a man who's been leading here for many, many years, Senator Tom Harkin, to the governor and to Patty for their leadership and what they've done here for the state of Iowa, and to your great congressman, Dave. It's great to be here with you, Dave Loebsack, Bruce Bailey, Leonard Boswell. Thank you all for your leadership. Thank you for what you've done. And it's wonderful to be here with all of you. You know, a little over a year from now, we will no longer have George Bush and Dick Cheney to kick around. And is that a great day for America? And I watched the Republican candidates, Giuliani, Romney, McCain, and what I see, correct response, what I see is George Bush on steroids. More war, more division, more tax cuts for the rich. Government for the lobbyists, by the lobbyists. This is not the Democratic Party. This is not who we are. And we need to make it clear that in November of 2008, the American people will have very clear choices. It is time for us as a party to stand up with some backbone and some strength for what we actually believe in, and to not back down from this fight. There is too much at stake for America. We are not the party that believes in torturing the innocent. We are not the party that kowtows to the powerful. We will not ignore the poor. We will not devastate our environment. And we will not continue to ship American jobs overseas. That will come to an end. We do not believe in allowing lobbyists to write the laws of the United States of America, and we do not believe that we are above the law. What we believe is we believe in the promise of America for every single American, black, white, gay, straight, poor, rich, employed, unemployed, healthy, unhealthy. That's the America we believe in. That's the America we will fight for. That is what the Democratic Party represents, and that is what I will do as President of the United States. We are faced, though, with enormous challenges, because as I travel around this country, what I continue to hear from Americans and people right here in Iowa is a concern that somehow we may be the first generation of Americans that fails to give our children a better life than we've had. This is not just politics. This is the great moral test of our generation. And to fail it would be an abomination. And if you look at what's happening in America and the world, and the disconnect between the strength and quality and courage of the American people and our government, it is cause for concern. We've had brave men and women serving in Iraq. These are American heroes, and we are proud of what they've done. But the government cannot get the lights on in Baghdad. We look at what happened when the hurricane hit the Gulf Coast, And it was an extraordinary response from the American people. Contributing, going to New Orleans to volunteer, taking families from New Orleans into communities. I took 700 college kids to New Orleans who gave up their spring break to go to New Orleans and work. Those kids were extraordinary and inspiring. But look at the government. We still have thousands of people living in trailers. We still have half the schools in New Orleans not yet open. And look at Ground Zero in New York City. All of us remember on September 11th, watching firefighters who going up into buildings, extraordinary, courageous human beings who put their lives on the line, some of whom lost their lives in standing up for others at the same time that people were coming out of those buildings. But 6 years later, Ground Zero is still a black hole in New York City. And the question, brothers and sisters, is why? Because there is incompetence. There's extraordinary incompetence in this administration. But it is not just incompetence. We have to tell the truth. Corruption has crept its way into our government over a period of decades. And you see it everywhere. The evidence of it is absolutely overwhelming. Our young men and women are serving in Iraq, putting their lives on the line, and Halliburton's getting $1 billion no-bid contracts in Iraq. We got a bunch of paid mercenaries roaming around Iraq, working for Blackwater. They gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to Bush and to the Republican Party. This has to change. This cannot continue. We cannot continue to allow what's happening in Washington today. Washington is awash with corporate money, with lobbyists who pass it out, with politicians who ask for it. And we need desperately to elect a Democrat as the next president of the United States, but it is not enough. It is not enough. Look at what happened in the 1990s when we had a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a Democratic Senate. But still, drug companies, insurance companies, and their lobbyists killed universal health care in the United States of America. It is not enough. It is not enough. We have a responsibility to change this system. We have a responsibility to stand up for the men and women in this country who have no health care. A few months ago, I met a man named James Lowe, 51 years old. 3 years younger than me. James Lowe was born with a severe cleft palate. And because he had a cleft palate, he couldn't speak. It was completely fixable from the time he was born. But he couldn't pay to fix it and had no health care coverage. Finally, somebody came along and voluntarily fixed James Lowe's cleft palate, and he was able to speak. Here's the problem. They fixed it when he was 50 years old. James Lowe lived in the United States of America for 5 decades, not able to speak because he had no health care coverage. How long are we going to let these drug companies and insurance companies and their lobbyists in Washington, D.C. run this government? When are we going to actually stand up for working people and for people like James Lowe, the forgotten in America? We're better than this. The United States of America is better than this. We cannot forget people like this. And I'll tell you exactly what I want to do on behalf of James Lowe and those like him, 47 million Americans who have no health care coverage. When I'm sworn in as President of the United States in January of 2009, I intend to say to members of Congress, to members of my administration, to members of my cabinet, I'm glad that you have health care coverage. That's good for you, good for your families. But I'll tell you this, as your president, if you don't pass universal health care for America by July of this year, July of 2009, I will use my power to take your health care coverage away from you. There is no excuse for politicians in Washington having health care when America has no health care. We've seen too much of this. We've seen too much of this. I spoke earlier about American jobs leaving. Look at these trade deals like NAFTA that have cost us millions of American jobs. What did America get in return? What we got were millions of dangerous Chinese toys. That's what we got. This system has to be changed. It is broken. It is rigged. It does not work for the American people. The few are in charge of the government instead of the many. We have got to restore power in this democracy back to the American people. We have to change it, and we can do that together. We can meet our responsibility to our children, to our grandchildren, to ensure that, in fact, they have a better life. But I don't believe you can bring about this change by taking money from these people, these lobbyists in Washington, D.C. I think you have to stand up for what's right. You have to stand up to change this system. And if you don't believe it needs to be changed, then you better be willing to look your children in the eye and tell them that you're going to turn this mess over to them. Because I don't believe we're going to do that. I think America has proven over and over that we will not allow that to happen. It is time for Americans to be patriotic about something other than war. It is time for America to stand up. It is time for America to make this system work, to reclaim our democracy for our children, for our grandchildren. That's the responsibility that we have. I saw a piece on television a few weeks ago, a documentary from World War II, and it told about the extraordinary accomplishments of the American people during World War II. It was amazing. Americans went across the Atlantic Ocean, defeated Hitler, defeated fascism, went across the Pacific Ocean, defeated the Japanese, built the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. in just over a year. Americans are still just as good and strong as they were then. I want to say this to you. I stand here today before you as the son of Wallace and Bobby Edwards. My parents took me out of the hospital, had to borrow $50 to get me out of the hospital, took me home to a two-room house in a mill village. And they got up every single day and went to work to make sure that I would have a better life than they had. They met their responsibility. They made certain that their children would have a better life. And I have spent my life fighting against these powerful corporate interests that are taking the government away from the American people. Over and over and over, I walked into courtrooms on behalf of children and families against a whole array of corporate lawyers and money on the other side. And I didn't just walk into that courtroom over and over and over. I went into that courtroom and I beat them and I beat them and I beat them again. And I will beat those interests as President of the United States of America. And I still remember one of the last cases I had. I represented a little girl, 5-year-old girl, who was severely hurt on a swimming pool drain. And the company that made that drain knew it was dangerous, and other kids had been hurt. And I sat with that family, devastating point in their life, and I told them we could do something about this. We could make her life better. And I gave that family hope. And then I turned around and walked into that courtroom and I gave that company hell. It is time for us to give America hope. It is time to give these entrenched interests that are standing against America hell. That's the only way we're going to win this fight. It's the only way we can turn America around. Elizabeth and I, this is the cause of my life. A few months ago, Elizabeth and I had a decision to make. And we had to make that decision in a small hospital room in North Carolina, having spent hours listening to bad news. And the decision we made is that we're going to speak out for the voiceless in this country, that we're going to stand up and we're going to fight for what we actually believe in. We're going to spend our lives speaking for those who have no voice. There is so much at stake, so much at stake for our children, for our grandchildren. We must reclaim this democracy. And I want to say to the brothers and sisters who are here from Iowa, you play an enormous role in that responsibility. You do. Because this president has destroyed the trust relationship between the American people and the president, and he has destroyed the trust relationship between the president of the United States and the rest of the world. And this is where you come in. This is where you come in. Most of America will see us, the presidential candidates, in 30-second sound bites on television. Not you. You're going to see us up close, in your living rooms, in your town halls. You're in a place to judge who is trustworthy, who is honest, who is sincere, who can restore that trust relationship that has been destroyed. And I say to all of you, on behalf of our country that we love so much, please judge us all, me too, up or down, because the rest of the country is counting on you to be the guardians of what kind of human being will be the next president of the United States. And finally, I want to say why I'm running for president. Because sometimes people say to me, explain, why are you doing this? Why would you do it? Why would you put yourself through it? Why would you put your family through it? I can tell you why I'm running for president. I run for president on behalf of my father, who worked in a mill all his life and never had the chances that I had. And I run on behalf of the men and women who worked in that mill with my dad, who I grew up with. And I run on behalf of the families in my hometown who lost their jobs and whose lives were devastated when that mill closed. And I run on behalf of women who have come to Elizabeth and me and told us that, like Elizabeth, they have breast cancer, but unlike Elizabeth, they have no health care coverage. And as a result, they're terrified of dying from their cancer. And I run on behalf of James Lowe and men and women like James Lowe. No, the forgotten in America, the people that this country and this government has left behind, that this government has forgotten. And I run on behalf of 20 generations of Americans who came before us, who made absolutely certain that their children would have a better life than they had. This is not just politics. This is not just an election. This is the great moral test of our generation. And together, we are going to meet that test. And I have one final message for everyone here who's going to caucus here in Iowa. You're going to go to that caucus on a cold January night, and you're going to have an important decision to make for America and for the world. And my last message to you is, when you make that judgment, when you make that decision, trust your heart. Trust your heart. God bless you all. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me here. Thank you. Great to see everybody. And thank all of you also. Thank you.